Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is episode number 305, number 305. And I've got Steve here on the line with me during the intro portion of the show to talk about a few things, and then we will go to today's guest, who is unknown. No, I'm just joking. At the time of this recording, we're not sure which guest we're putting with his show. So we have a guest. We just don't know who it is yet, but you'll know in a few minutes after we're done doing the intro portion. How do you like that, folks? This is a real high-end production.
Yeah, the suspense is killing me.
We want to just keep them in suspense. That's what we want to do. But anyway, hey, I think we've got Tony Robbins coming on the show. So look forward to that. That's going to be a big name guest. And, you know, we had Steve Forbes on recently, and I got some good feedback on that mortgage lender panel that we did on the last episode, episode number 304. So glad to see that all of you are learning a lot from the show, and we thank you so much for listening and for spreading the word about the show and telling your friends. You know, Steve, we need to develop some kind of recruiting program every time. It's kind of like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. What a great movie you watch every year around the holidays. And every time an angel gets its wings, they ring the bell. Maybe that's what we'll do on the Creating Wealth Show, huh?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Every time someone gets their financial independence wings, we'll ring the bell for them.
That's what Dave Ramsey does, our favorite guy, Dave Ramsey. People call in and scream that they're debt-free. But
well, I sort of have a love-hate relationship with Dave Ramsey too. You know, I was listening to him the other night and he was making a lot of sense. Some things he's really good at, but this whole debt-free thing, that's not for people that want to follow an offensive investing strategy. That's simply for lower end people. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean people lower end financially that, you know, should pay off their credit cards and not spend their money on silly consumer items. You know, I always say most people spend their money and their resources on the appearances of wealth rather than the things that actually create wealth. Thus the title of the show, The Creating Wealth Show. And it's kind of like the guns and butter theory. Don't waste your money on stuff that doesn't produce wealth for you, that doesn't produce a future. And, you know, in that way, I think Dave Ramsey's great because that's essentially what he's saying. He just can't teach people how to invest. You know, he's talking about how great mutual funds are. I mean, my God, are you kidding? And he just doesn't understand the power of inflation-induced debt destruction and leverage as it applies to real estate. I invited him on to my Solomon Success Show, and he sent his number two man. And we did the interview. It's published. You can find it and listen to it. And Dave, if you want to come on the show and kind of debate this with me, I mean, I'll be happy to do it. Largely, I'm a fan of yours, okay? So, you know, but I just don't think you can really teach people how to invest. It's just more how to pay off your credit cards. And that, I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, he does a great job at that, getting people to stop acting completely stupidly. But then after that, he has them crawl into the financial bomb shelter and never really do anything.
It's just, if you want to save money, you can buy gold and silver, but that's not investing. It's just saving money and hedging inflation, which that is part of the strategy. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying it's not investing. Stop saying you're a gold investor. Stop saying you're a life insurance investor. Stop saying you invest in silver. Those things, in my opinion, aren't investments. Why? They don't produce income. Well, life insurance policies theoretically do, whole life policies. But I think those are basically a scam because they don't want you to understand inflation. And inflation is simply debasing that income. So income property, that's where it's at. Nothing works as well. We're already off on a tangent, Steve. This isn't what we were going to talk about. We weren't going to talk about Dave Ramsey.
You're surprised?
Look at what we do here. This is just how we do it. Okay, let's get on with it. First, we got a few things to cover in the intro portion, folks. We want to talk about the Memphis Property Tour and Creating Wealth in Today's Economy Boot Camp. That's coming up. We want to talk about some clients. We want to talk about compound interest. We want to talk about Albert Einstein. So, Steve, I'm going to let you take it away. Let's talk about some clients first. Clients, if you're listening, we're talking about you behind your back. Well, maybe not. I guess you're going to know.
Yeah, well, we're not going to use their names. We certainly wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, we have clients from all over the place right now. Lots of interesting ones. I've got one who's actually from Singapore. We're getting more
great
and more
place.
People.
I love Singapore, except you don't want to get caught doing graffiti or smuggling chewing gum into the country.
Yes.
But it is a beautiful place.
Yeah. The penalty in Singapore for smuggling in chewing gum is probably a little bit worse than first degree murder here in the United States.
Well, we're joking, obviously, but and no spitting on the sidewalk or anything. But other than that strict part of Singapore, it's a very capitalistic place. Jim Rogers, who we had on the show twice now, he lives there. He moved his whole family there. I think he's kind of overplaying the downfall of America, but I am a Jim Rogers fan, ultimately. Anyway,
yeah,
so
well,
our international clients.
Yeah, we have one there, and more international clients are wanting to invest in U.S. real estate because they feel like it's undervalued, and I think that still is true, you know, especially if you're valuing these properties based on the income that they generate. We know that it's definitely undervalued from that standpoint. But.
Well, and not just that, the price per square foot, or, you know, in other countries, they measure per square meter, which is approximately 10 square feet. But it's amazing, Steve, because I just got back from Belize 2 days ago, and we'll talk about this more. That was my second trip to Belize. I was speaking at a conference down there, and the conference was all about offshore investing and kind of this whole concept of escaping America and having some of your assets outside of America, whether it be bank accounts, investments, real estate, whatever. And I got to tell you, look, I could be wrong, but this whole philosophy and this whole thinking, this doom and gloom thinking, and mind you, folks, remember, I host a show called The Holistic Survival Show, okay? That's another show I have, and we've got way over 100 episodes there where we talk about the collapse of America and the end of the world and doom and gloom. And then this week and weekend, I'm going to Nashville, and Steve, you're going to meet me there.
Yep,
you're not
yep.
going with me because you're coming from a different airport, but you're going to meet me there. And I'm doing two speeches at the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo. So, you know, look, I am fully aware of this thinking. I am immersed in this world. Okay, I know what these people think. I know what they say. I know what it's all about. But I think it's being dramatically over-exaggerated. And the one thing I will tell you, if America goes down, a lot of other countries are going down too. This is the biggest domino in the bunch. And this real estate offshore, I just can't get it to pencil that well. I mean, I have looked. People know I've been to 64 countries. Many of them, I've been several times. And here in Belize, I was looking at properties there. I looked at properties there last time. I looked at properties this time. And, you know, you're looking at mostly not very good construction, but I did meet one builder there, and I actually interviewed him, a developer, and he's going to be on the show as well, a great guy. But the price per square foot is not cheap. And most of the stuff you look at, it's condos. And I don't like condos that much, as people know. I'm not too much of a condo fan at all. And the way this developer said is, you know, in foreign countries, people kind of prefer the condos a lot of times because they offer some maintenance while the person's away and so forth. But whatever the case, real estate has been subsidized by the government in America since the Great Depression. And the distribution systems here are so much better and so competitive, and the infrastructure is so well developed that our builders in this country can just deliver most of the time a superior product at a lower cost per square foot, including land, and you've got the fantastic mortgages and the rule of law and the well-developed real estate infrastructure here. And what do I mean by that? I mean the fact that agents here are licensed, property managers in most states are licensed. You have an MLS system, a multiple listing system. And Steve, when you have an MLS system, you don't get these sort of randomized pricing phenomenons. You can really, you can use comparables and you can find out what a property's worth and make sure you're not overpaying for it. You can find out what a property should rent for. I mean, I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm just going to take a stab at it. I don't think there are sites like Zillow in other countries. I know that the countries I've been to don't have multiple listing services. That's a U.S. phenomenon, so far as I know. I mean, you know, even in westernized modern countries like Australia, when I went around with real estate brokers in Australia and New Zealand, they said they didn't have an MLS system. You go to one real estate company and you see their listings. You go to a different one and you see a totally different set of listings. And rarely do they ever come together and cooperate. And those prices aren't published like they are in the U.S. So folks, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble if you don't really know what you're doing. And all of that said, we continue to look at overseas or international investment opportunities. But the jury is out. We haven't found them yet that make sense. We would be recommending them today, Steve, if we could make it work. And so far, just haven't been able to do it.
Yeah, they look really attractive and you know, you feel really important. You're investing offshore, but that lack of the rule of law and a cohesive marketplace, if you don't believe that that's not there, give it a try.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to see that how much better the U.S. real estate market functions.
Yeah. And there's a certain sexiness and a certain romance to this for like a U.S. buyer. And this is a total guess here, by the way, but I would guess that about 25% of our clientele is from outside the U.S. and 75% is inside the U.S. And for a U.S. person, you kind of think, oh yeah, I'm going to go buy a property in South America or Central America. And you know, that's like really cool. I'm a bigwig and international person, you know, and it is. I'll be the first to admit that does sound kind of sexy, but I don't know. I just, as soon as we can make this deal work, I mean, we were talking with a developer who was building stuff in Melbourne, Australia, Eastern Europe, Southeast Asia, South America, Central America. We've looked all over the planet. And so far, not yet. We will sell no wine before it's time. Like Ernest and Julio Gallo.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and that's the irony here is we have foreign clients that can't buy enough real estate in the U.S. fast enough. But there's always still people from the U.S. asking us about the foreign real estate, and what they need is right here. It's in the United States. And Wall Street has definitely realized that too. You know, they're making life difficult for a lot of our LMSs in these markets because they're paying so much for properties. You know,
and you know what I say, Steve? No acronyms. LMS means local market specialist. That's our affiliate. Go ahead.
There you go. Local market specialists are, you know, they can have a tough time in some of these markets because the private equity people will show up at the auctions and they'll pay a lot of money.
They overpay. That's what happens when you invest in with an institution, when you invest in some fund or something. When it's not their money, they're much more liberal in overpaying for things.
Oh, yeah. I talked to one of our local market specialists who they buy a lot of properties from the auction, and a fund out of Boston had just given a couple of other, you know, real estate operators a bunch of money to buy properties in this particular area, and they were paying $10,000-$15,000 over the very top of what the local market specialist could pay and make any money. And it's because our listeners, they're buying a lot of these properties with leverage, and if you're going to do that, the property has to appraise. So the local market specialist kind of knows where they have to be to buy these properties. But private equity, they don't have to appraise. They're going in all cash. They're looking at this purely on the return, you know. And I've been doing business with one, and they're looking at a lot of different markets right now, and they're expanding rapidly. And I think they're going to be doing this another year to 18 months, and they're going to be a little bit of a headache for everybody in the meantime. I mean, the good news is yeah, they overpay, but not that much, not to the extent of a crazy bubble like we saw in 2006.
Let me just comment on that for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one of the dysfunctions of institutional investors and you know, any sort of fund, whether it be a hedge fund, a mutual fund, an LLC that you invest in, any sort of pooled money investment, one of the dysfunctions of this type of investment is the same dysfunction that government, now government has a lot more dysfunctions, but this is one of them. And it's the concept of, look, you better spend your budget or you're not getting more. That's the thing with government. If some bureaucrat that runs some government program or department, if they don't spend all the money they're allotted, they actually get reduced next year. God forbid. Now, isn't that counter to the goal? Isn't the goal to be more lean and more efficient and cut costs? No, it's actually not. In government, it's the opposite. The more you spend, the more you get. Look at the education problem in this country, and especially in the Socialist Republic of California. You have NEA, the National Extortion Association, otherwise known as the National Education Association. Forgive me, I know there are great teachers out there. My disclaimer, if I offended anyone, I'm sorry, okay? But these unions are not doing any good for our kids. Anyway, enough said.
Well, they need more money, Jason.
Well, that's the problem. We're too stingy. And I remember in California, I took this program years ago called Leadership Tomorrow. And with Leadership Tomorrow, it was like a 9-month program. And every month we would spend a whole day, like a 16-hour day in one part of the community. And I remember on Education Day, and then the month before and after, we would like do homework and study this stuff and then go meet with all the respective leaders in the community and stuff like that. And I just remember on Education Day, sitting there with this administrative staff person with a public school system saying, oh, we just don't have enough money. The amount of money we get per student is not enough. And I'm like, okay, that was 15 years ago. Now you've got way more money, even adjusted for inflation, and it's still a disaster. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So that's one of the dysfunctions of an institution, is that they need to get more, they need to spend all the money they have. And in their case, they need to get it fully invested before they can go out and start another fund or another grouping and get it subscribed. That's what happens. So they've got to go get that money invested. That's like the hot potato. When they get money, they got to deploy it and invest it. They cannot keep it on the sidelines, which I think leads to a lot of malinvestment. That's my point.
Yeah, and that's definitely happening. I mean, many of them are about to get pancaked by the fragmentation train. You know, they're buying quickly, they're running faster than they really can, and they're just not going to be able to manage all of this stuff. And, you know, some of them have realized that already. They're trying to diversify out into these markets and use local operators, but at the speed they want to invest that money, it's just not the same. They're not going to be able to do it long term, and that's why they're giving themselves these tight windows to do this within.
Yeah, agreed. And I just want to circle back and say one more thing about the international investing. Now, look, if someone listening is a person of means and they're upper middle class or wealthy, I certainly think it makes sense to have offshore structures potentially. Keep in mind, that can be a trap. You got to be really careful because you must, as a U.S. citizen, report all worldwide income. You got to be very careful. The government gets real touchy about this type of stuff. And, you know, you're likely to be audited, from what I hear. I'm no expert on this. The disclaimer, again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a tax advisor. I'm just talking about my own experience and what I hear on the show here from people and what I read. And so certainly there are things you want to consider in that way, because if the U.S. does fall apart, certainly you want to be a little bit diversified. But for most people, just good old U.S. real estate in diversified markets with good insurance policies, I think does the trick most of the time. And it reminds me of the old story. And that is the old story. I think it was Russell Herman Conwell that popularized this story. And Steve, you might know what I'm about to say here. It's called Acres of Diamonds. And I originally heard it many years ago from one of my great mentors, Earl Nightingale, the founder of Nightingale Conant, the audio company. And I remember Earl Nightingale, you know, he would tell the Acres of Diamonds story, and in a nutshell, this is it. It was about a man who had a farm somewhere in the Midwest, I think. And, you know, he kept hearing and reading about people discovering diamonds over in Africa. So he finally decided to go chase the end of the rainbow, sell his farm, and then go and spend the rest of his life covering, searching the vast continent of Africa in search of diamonds. And what finally happened is he got so frustrated in searching, going through Africa looking for diamonds, that he threw himself into a river and drowned. He committed suicide. Meanwhile, back at the farm, as the saying goes, the man who bought his farm was walking across the property one day, and he discovered a large, interesting stone. Okay, and you probably know what I'm going to say. He picked it up, he took it back, he cleaned it off, and it turns out it was, at the time, one of the largest found diamonds ever discovered. And it turns out the whole property was covered with them. So there is your acres of diamonds story. The first farmer had already had acres of diamonds. If he just bothered to look where he was, there's like that old saying, bloom where you're planted. And the other old saying, there are no small parts, there are only small actors. So exploit the opportunities right around you. If you're in the U.S., I'm telling you, U.S. offers phenomenal opportunities for real estate investment.
Yep.
So
yep.
Enough patriotism. I'm going to get a nasty gram like I did before from someone in another country saying, Jason, you got to stop talking about how great the U.S. is. I don't think the U.S. is that great. I think it's a disaster. I'm just an opportunist. And I think there's a lot of opportunity in terms of gaming the system here. So I don't need any more of your emails with that commentary.
Well, that's what you get for being a libertarian hack.
You know me.
Yeah.
Or a conservative hack, as Gloria thinks I am. Okay, anyway, next subject. So yeah, a lot of people, I guess the point of that whole long discussion, a lot of people buying up U.S. real estate from other countries. If you're right here in the U.S., maybe you better think the way they do too.
I think so.
We'll be back in just a minute.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right, and to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you.
We're looking here now, you know, you posted an interesting graphic on Facebook the other day about what happens to a penny.
Oh, yes.
As it compounds over 30 days.
Yeah, well, that's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, Steve, Canada recently decided to do away with a penny. The U.S. should too. It costs much more to make a penny than a penny is worth, and the same is true with a nickel. And I instantly thought, my little entrepreneurial mind thought, well, if that's true, I should just go to the bank, get a bunch of pennies, and take them to a smelting place and have them melted down for the metal value. And one of my friends, who's a monetary hack, he said, oh, not so fast. That's illegal. You're not allowed to melt the money, or the currency, I should say. There are anti-smelting laws, and you go to jail if you do that. So can't melt it down for the metal value, but it's just totally illogical. But when you double that penny, you can do some cool stuff, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's funny how quickly it makes progress. On day 15, it's only at $163.84.
Well, hang on a second. Don't go so fast here, because we got to explain, you know, and a lot of people have heard this. This whole chart says, watch what happens to this penny over 30 days. And it just shows that when you double a penny every day for just 30 days, you get what Albert Einstein called, and this is what he said about it. He said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. And Einstein was right because, I mean, look at the types of returns we can get with our income property investments, Steve. Returns that are over 10% pretty easily, even on a deal that goes sideways, and on a deal that goes well, upwards of 20% overall return on investment. And so all of that said, I mean, look how fast someone can create wealth over just the matter of a few to several years, not that many years. So this penny, as you said, day one, you start out with a penny. Day five, well, day two, you got 2 cents, 4 cents, 8 cents, 16 cents, 32, 64, etc. And so, like you said, day 15, you've already got from one penny doubled every day, $164, basically. But Steve, how long does it take you to get to over $1 million?
Well, you're already there, and it looks like day 28.
28, you've got $1.3 million in change. And by day 30, you've got almost $5.4 million. And if you don't believe me, just do the math on a calculator. The first time I heard this years ago, I actually did it on a calculator. But now you can just Google it, and you can find a bunch of charts that show this. So isn't that amazing? I mean, wow.
It is, and it shows you what staying power does.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what if you didn't stay till day 30, right?
Very good. Thank you for mentioning that. That is really the moral of the story because, first of all, it has to do with keeping score. Most people in the real estate game, with the income property game, they're winning and they just don't know how to count. They don't know how to keep score. So they get emotional and they think, oh gosh, this investment didn't work. And then what usually happens is around March of the following year, they go to their tax accountant and their accountant says, wow, you know, these rental properties, you saved a lot of money on taxes. And they thought, oh, well, I didn't figure that in. That's actually, that deal was quite a bit better than I thought. And then what happens is they get the property stabilized. They get a good tenant. The tenant stays for 3 or 4 years. And that happens more often than not. Well, not more often than not, but it happens a lot. You know, I've had a tenant stay 9 years. You heard my mother on the show before talking about one of her tenants that's been in one of her properties since 1989. She hasn't painted or changed the carpet or done anything. My suspicion is that's a meth lab. I'm joking.
Isn't the EPA going to have to take that carpet out of there?
Maybe.
That's nasty.
But yeah, that's pretty bad. But these properties, if you just have staying power, income property, real estate, it's a game of staying power. And the people that stay in the game, unless they were in Detroit, they're winning the game. Generally speaking, they're almost always going to win the game if they can stay in the game. So how do you stay in the game? Well, you follow my 10 commandments. Well, actually, addendum, 20 commandments now of successful investing. And one of them is thou shalt not gamble. You got to make sure the property makes sense from day one. And that's how you stay in the game. And then control your own head. Control your own emotions. I just did a great interview with a Wall Street guy today, and we'll publish it soon, about how important it is that investors, in whatever the asset class is, that they control their own thoughts. Viktor Frankl wrote that great book many years ago about the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and it's entitled Man's Search for Meaning. And he talks about how the last human freedom is the freedom of how we perceive something, what we think. No one can make us think anything. We are in control of that completely. Regardless of what is happening outside of us, we control what we think. And of course, Napoleon Hill, Earl Nightingale, and all of the greats throughout history said, essentially, we become what we think about. We become what we think about. And so if you want to become rich with income property, get control of your mind. So enough said on that one, probably.
Yeah, but that staying power is what does it. When you can stay in the deal and ride out any bumps, you're always going to come out ahead. You know, football teams don't forfeit the game when the other team gets a first down and say it's over. The game's not over. Those bumps will happen, but you're going to win. And especially, everybody loves their income properties a lot more in April during tax time.
Yeah, they sure do. And you know what? It's kind of funny that we're having this conversation now because the market is actually quite good. Properties are renting pretty well in most cases. Prices are going up in almost all cases. And it's like things have taken a seemingly positive turn. I don't think this is any real economic recovery, but I mean, things seem to be going pretty well overall out there. You know, I think it's largely because of quantitative easing and money printing. I don't think it's a legitimate recovery, but in either case, it is one for people investing in real estate the right way because they over exceed inflation with leverage and inflation induced debt destruction and packaged commodities investing and all the stuff we talk about, all the principles that really make this game work so well. So this is kind of like a conversation that we should have had 2 or 3 years ago when it was in the dumper and, you know, everybody needed some encouragement. We don't even need to be encouraging you folks right now. Things are all in all pretty darn good out there.
Yeah. They're listening to the podcast, so they know how to game this thing. I mean, I've taken to calling everybody in the government the Keynesians now. You know, the Keynesians are pumping money into the economy. That's how they believe the economy will get better. And there's not much evidence that that's the case, but it is kind of a short-term cortisone shot. It makes the economy prone to more bubbles. So if you can position yourself for that, then you can definitely take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. And that's what happens. You know the old saying, Steve, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Well, one of the reasons the rich get richer is because, number one, they have the resources and the money and usually the will to do things on a contrarian basis. They have the staying power to stay in the game. And by the way, one thing I need to mention about staying power is that the other part of that is you don't invest every last penny you have. You've got to have adequate reserves because if you hit a bump in the road, you need reserves to cover some vacancy. You need reserves to cover some unexpected repair cost. That's part of the deal. You don't throw every last penny you have into buying property. Usually this isn't a problem, but it is a little bit sometimes. But you got to have a proper plan. So that's kind of like the Dave Ramsey emergency fund idea, which I totally agree with, by the way. You need to have an emergency fund, not only for yourself and your personal life, which many would say is like 6 months expenses, not 6 months income, 6 months expenses. And for your properties, a minimum of 4% of the value of the properties. So in other words, if you have a $1 million portfolio, you need to have $40,000 at least on the side in reserve. Now, that gets a little more complicated too, because if you have that $1 million portfolio and say you weren't able to mortgage any of those properties and they were all free and clear, I hope they're not. Why do I say I hope they're not? Because leverage can be a very good and powerful tool used properly. But if you have them highly leveraged, you may need more reserves. If you have them not leveraged at all, you know, like if you're a foreign national and you had to pay cash for your properties, maybe you can be a little more skinny on the reserves. So that's why we have investment counselors, and that's why they can help you with some guidance there. But you must have some reserves, folks.
You don't want to be forced to do anything when it comes to your investments. You don't want to have to accept the rental application on the shady tenant, or you don't want to have to sell. You know, that's when these dumb decisions start being made and you lose the staying power.
Yep. You don't want to get the margin call, as it were.
Right. Which I love that movie.
Well, oh, I know. I talked about it today. That's such a great movie.
Yeah.
But that's the analogy to the stock market. Okay. Let's switch gears. We've got to wrap up here. What else do we want to talk about?
This is a quick one on Housing Wire today. They have announced that in the, I can't remember the last 6 years or so, but the lenders have completed just over 6.15 million loan modifications. We don't know how many of those have redefaulted or defaulted at all. But I think that speaks a lot as to what's happened to a lot of this shadow inventory that people have been expecting. Much of it has been loss mitigated through, you know, these loan modifications or short sales. And, you know, some people have kind of, you know, fought through it. But much of it still has yet to wash through in the judicial foreclosure states, where it just takes so much longer to process these foreclosures. So that's why we haven't seen that hammer come down like people originally thought was going to happen.
Yeah, and you know what's kind of interesting about this judicial versus non-judicial foreclosure issue is you kind of look here at how the government once again perverts, subverts, maligns, and creates not just malinvestment in ways, but also malaction, I'll say. I don't even know if that's a proper phrase. It probably isn't. But it causes the market to recover more slowly, because one of the things that's a concept of free market economics is the concept of price discovery and market clearing. Those two concepts, they're really one and the same. But when you have these foreclosures process quickly, you get price discovery very quickly. And the property is foreclosed. The new buyer buys it. The new buyer either establishes it as their home and their homestead, and that's fine and dandy, or they turn it into an investment property, or they improve it and flip it. And whatever the case is, they create a highest and best use, hopefully. And the free market is just, it's got its own wisdom. It's such a beautiful thing versus Keynesianism with good old John Maynard Keynes. And I remember, as you were mentioning that, from my economics class in college back there at Long Beach City College, my first year. And that professor used to always talk about priming the pump and Keynes. And now that I think back, I think he was a Keynesian. Evil Keynesians.
I can't believe you turned out as well as you did.
It took a few years, but I like the Austrian school of economics much better, which is more about free market. But that's what happens. When the market clears, the recovery happens more quickly. And it's just better. It's just better for everybody. Price discovery needs to occur as quickly as possible. Ownership needs to transfer to the party that can do something better. And that's just good for all concerned. It really is.
Yep, that is. So the government's been trying to, quote unquote, help with the housing crisis. But I think, you know, we can all look back now. It's just really prolonged it. Investors are gobbling up properties anyways, which they would have already done.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Here we are. We are here. That's for sure. And by the way, I want to mention something else before we talk about the Memphis tour. And that is, we have had, you may have noticed, some pretty severe website problems. We've got almost, one of my companies has almost 20 websites. And, you know, we've just had some problems with like the images not showing up correctly. And it's just been a nightmare the past week. And at the same time, as I announced last time, we've been changing the podcasting system over to a new service, which is quite a bit better. But that change has had some problems. And I just want to say to everybody, if you ever need to reach us and one of the sites goes down for some odd reason, this only happened once before a few years ago, but we're here. And if you don't see the podcast on iTunes for whatever reason, look for the website, go to jasonhartman.com. You can always, of course, contact us, 714-820-4200, 714-820-4200, and you can reach your investment counselor there. Steve, I don't think we're going to have time for a guest today. Remember at the beginning, we didn't know who the guest was going to be, but I think we got to wrap this up. We've talked a lot here, but we do have some great guests coming up, including Jim Rogers and a whole bunch of other great guests. So we'll save that for future shows, but let's talk about the Memphis tour.
If you haven't been to one of our property tours yet, I encourage you to come to the Memphis tour. You learn so much, you get so much more confidence in your ability to invest, buy these properties and manage them effectively when you put your boots on the ground. And you get to shake hands with everybody that's involved, our local market specialists, their property managers, insurance people, the attorneys, and see who ultimately is on the other end of this deal. You get a feel for the neighborhoods so that, and this is important, Jason, because with the inventory moving so quickly, a lot of times you have to be in touch with our local market specialists all the time about what they're even thinking about buying. Because by the time they've purchased it, many times it's already spoken for due to how tight these markets are. So one very valuable thing about going to the property tour is that you learn the different neighborhoods and what you're most comfortable with. So you can let the market specialist know, hey, you know, when a property comes available in this neighborhood, count me in. I want first crack at it. and that you're not having to play that game of chasing these things down.
Yeah, having that human relationship is very valuable. And of course, this tour is at the end of April, and we'll have the Creating Wealth in Today's Economy Bootcamp. I've given that talk to thousands and thousands of investors, and you definitely don't want to miss that. You know, we used to always say, when we had kind of a California-centric audience back in the old days, come to the Creating Wealth Bootcamp twice a year. And it's just a good refresher, number one. And number two, as things change, I'm commenting on current events and so forth and how they apply to us as investors. So even if you're not interested in Memphis as a market for some reason, just come for the seminar. Come for the 1 day, 9 hours of educational content on Saturday. And then if you want, you come, of course, to the reception, the dinner we're having Friday evening, and the tour will be on Sunday. And so, speaking of website problems, we've had a problem with that too, because for some reason, it's not showing up in the events section, and it's showing up in the blog section. I don't know what the problem is, but our web developers are working on it. But if you click on blog, and then you click on Memphis Property Tour, which right now is the first entry there, down at the bottom, it says register now, and you can do that there, okay?
And I can speak to that really quickly, Jason, what you were saying. I used to work for one of the prominent real estate gurus out there. And by gurus, I mean the guys that are on the late night infomercials. And they, you know, sell their coaching and their books and tapes. And I can sit here and I can tell everybody that you will learn more in Jason's 1 day Creating Wealth Bootcamp than you would by buying a $35,000 coaching program from one of those gurus.
I tell you, though, some of those courses are just a complete ripoff. They really are. You know, I never want to downplay the importance of education, but it's just, the difference with us is that we're tied to the actual activity of investing. Unlike these gurus that just sell you a program and send you away. And, you know, maybe it's a continuity program where you talk to a coach every month or every week or every 2 weeks or whatever that is. But when they do that, it's a situation of they don't have to actually provide properties, whereas my company provides actual properties to you. Okay, so what we say in the seminar and on the podcast has to come true in a property you can actually buy. And that's just the huge, huge difference, okay? Because this is where the rubber meets the road. I've told this story before, but as I would spend so much time and money over the years reading hundreds of books on real estate investing, going to hundreds of seminars, listening to hundreds of speakers, and it all sounded great, and I'd get all excited, and then I'd go out and try to implement what they said in real life, and Steve, it was just too hard to do. You can't, you know, in reality, it's so hard to find that one seller, that needle in a haystack that's going to make you this incredible deal, that's going to give you a great price and great terms. And it's just very difficult to do it. We have actual properties for you, folks. That's a huge, huge difference. It really is. It's where the rubber meets the road. So good. Good stuff. Well, hey, let's wrap this up. Was there anything else? I think we covered it all, right?
Yeah, we cover it all every time. What are you talking about?
Okay. We cover more than it all. Hey, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back on the next episode with a great guest for you. And I just want to wish you all happy investing. Call us, engage with us, and let us know how we can help you. We really don't charge for any of our services. And if it is one of our educational programs or tours, it's a nominal fee. We want to help you really invest, and that's what we're here for. So we're not selling you a bunch of stuff. We're actually going to help you have the rubber meets the road and actually build a real estate portfolio. And you know, one more comment on that, Steve. I cannot tell you the number of times, and I know since you've been with my company, you're starting to hear this too, but the number of times someone has come up to me at a break and said, you know, I am so bummed out. I am so disappointed that I went to this seminar of this big guru, this big author, and I spent $9,000. I spent $30,000 and won. It was unbelievable. They said they spent like $61,000 on all of these coaching programs. And when they learned how we do it, they said, I could have purchased two or three actual properties. I mean, folks, this is like the overpriced college education. It goes on in the private market out there. And don't do that. Get yourself some actual properties. We'll give you most of this education for free, okay?
It's and, true.
And dare I say, I think our education's better than anybody else's. So
it is. Those, you know, a lot of those big companies, it's a sales funnel, you know? They hook you and they want you to spend a bunch of money at this workshop and they sell you to the next one and they'll take you as far as they can. You know, I've even seen some of them, you know, signing clients up for credit cards at the back of the room so that they could buy their products.
Yeah. And I tell you something, a lot of them, the sales pitch is so good. I remember being on the phone with one of those people for over an hour as they were trying to pitch me on the coaching program. And they start you with like a $300 weekend seminar. And then it's the $8,000 coaching program. And I asked the woman who was selling me on this, I said, well, so who's my coach? Tell me about my coach. And she says, well, I'll be your coach. And I said, okay. And I said, well, tell me about your experience. And she completely downplayed experience. I said, you know, have you been a real estate investor for long? And what I come to find out is she's never purchased a property.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here was her answer. She said, hey, is Tiger Woods' coach as good a golfer as Tiger Woods? You know, I mean, they got like every trick in the book. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want someone who actually has some experience. I don't want to rely on some telemarketer in a boiler room following a script. I've been there and done that. I can tell you, experience does matter.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Enough said. Let's wrap it up. Thank you, Steve, for joining me for this intro portion of the show.
We did it again.
We did it again. But we'll be back with a guest next time. And again, thanks for listening, folks, and happy investing. And we hope to see you in Memphis, Tennessee.
Are you interested in a property outside of our network? Do you need a second opinion? No problem. Let Jason's experts evaluate the deal. Our deal evaluator is only $50. For more information, go to jasonhartman.com now. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.